This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today with
Sarah. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
Something Adam Peters said about Josh Connerly against the Big Ten's biggest opponents coming up in a second. But Mike Tice, do you remember Mike Tice? Mike Tice played many years in the NFL as a tight end, played in Seattle for several years, played here for a year, played in Minnesota, and then ended up becoming a head coach of the Vikings for about four seasons, and then stayed in the league as an OC and as an offensive line coach for years. By the way, if you didn't know this about Mike Tice, he was a quarterback in college at Maryland. He was a 6'7" quarterback in college at Maryland in the late 70s, early 80s, before Boomer Esiason arrived, and then became a tight end in the pros. Anyway, he was on a podcast that I think his son was doing last night for the draft. He loved Josh Connerly. This is a longtime offensive head coach, coordinator, and O-line coach, Mike Tice, talking about Josh Connerly.
Period. Number one offensive lineman in this draft for me. I don't do it full time like everybody else does. I was given this special assignment, so I'm doing this special assignment. But
family favor.
I didn't get a chance to look it up, but whoever is a O-line coach at Oregon has done a tremendous job. This kid plays with great technique in all areas of the game. Pass sets, run game, out in space, footwork, down blocks, hand usage. This guy has a lot of traits. When you have that many good traits, you're a first half of the first round for player. You're because he has so many good traits, that to me makes this guy a premier offensive tackle in this year's draft. I really like this player. There's not a lot to not like about him, unless he's got some blemish or some acne that I don't know about.
There you go. About as high a praise from a former NFL, coach and player as you can get on Josh Connerly Jr. So there were a couple of other sound bites from Adam Peters that I wanted to play. The first one was just the idea that Ben talked about, and I don't know, maybe this was Ben's question. Sorry if I didn't know this going in. But Ben brought up the fact that, we had a run on offensive linemen in the first round, in part because there was a big drop-off after, say, 7, 8, 9 guys, and then the rest of the tackles in particular. And he was asked about sort of the draft depth at that position and how it impacted the selection of Connerly Jr. Here's what he said.
Yeah, you always look at that. I think that's a good question. And yeah, we did think that, after Josh, there was going to be a little bit of a dip in terms of the guys that we really liked. And it wasn't a huge dip, but you're right. You do look across the board and say, okay, okay, we can get these guys later. That shouldn't be the driver of your decision, but it also makes for, you to feel more comfortable about doing that.
Yeah, that makes sense. I mean, you don't want it to be the full driver of your decision, because then you're really thinking more need, right? If you're like, well, the tackles aren't going to be there until the fourth or fifth round, there's such a big disparity, we got to take a tackle now. It should be about best player available, which it was. But if it's close with another best player available, and let's just say it came at the edge position, defensive end position, well, that position, according to everybody, is deep. And you're going to be able to get one in the second round, the third round, the fourth round in this draft. But Ben mentioned something that I didn't consider. I think the Chiefs were always looking at O-line. And Connerly Jr. had been actually mocked to Kansas City several times, which I went back and looked at after last night. But Ben suggested that maybe the trading partner would be the team that would have taken Connerly Jr. at 29. So Peters didn't want to risk it. He wanted to, you know, stick where he was instead of accepting an offer to trade back and hope that he would be there. This was a question just about the overall emphasis on defense, and certainly I would say that most fans, most of us, believed that going into this offseason, defense would be the focus. In the draft, defense might be a big part of the focus. Certainly an edge rusher, an edge run stopper. Here's what he said with respect to pressure in this draft to get defense.
I think it's just looking at our board and picking the highest player on our board. So I don't think there's any pressure to pick a defensive guy, except I'd feel bad for Joe Witt a little bit, but he was extremely supportive of this pick too. He's a great team guy, all jokes aside. But no, there's no real pressure to do that, to force a pick on the defensive side of the ball. It's just trying to pick the best commander for us.
There you go. They do need defense, but then again, maybe they feel like they did a lot in the offseason heading into the draft in free agency, and they like maybe what they have coming back. That's always something. We've talked about this for a while. The whole idea that last year's draft is already kind of in the books in terms of what they have, that's just false. Most rookie players don't make their big impact, if they're going to make a big impact, in their first season. So what they think of Johnny Newton and Jordan McGee and Dominique Hampton and Javonte John-Baptiste, who I was told a couple of times last year they actually liked the player. And he got some run, remember, in some games during the course of the year. That draft, last year's draft, often ends up being the creator of your new contributors the next year. And the guys you draft this year then end up being more contributors the following year. Of course, you want your first rounder to be able to contribute right away. You'd like your second rounder to be able to contribute right away. In Washington's case last year, their first pick obviously contributed in a major way, and two of their three second-round picks contributed. Newton and, of course, Mikey Sanders still, who had an excellent rookie season. This was Adam Peters back on Josh Connerly talking about the top talent that he faced during his college career, specifically in the Big Ten.
Yeah, that's a great question. That's something I failed to mention when I started the presser. But I think, one, the way he competed against Abdul Carter, he went toe-to-toe with Abdul Carter, who's the best pass rusher in the draft. He did really well. And he did really well against a lot of really good players. He, you know, played Ohio State twice, and they were getting the break speed off in the second game, and he was still competing to the very last second, and that showed a lot. And just those types of things you see in him. And we have metrics where our R&D department does a great job of giving us metrics. How do they perform against high draftable players? And so he performed really high against high draftable players, and that lined up with what our eyes saw. And so those things make you really not just his skill, but the fact that he will go toe-to-toe with those guys. He's not going to freak out. He's not going to panic. He's not going to do things that he doesn't normally do when he's, face-to-face with a really great player.
There you go. Two things about that. Abdul Carter, he actually dominated, all right, just so you know, in the Big Ten title game. JT Tuimoloau from Ohio State, he faced twice. Ohio State got the better of Oregon, you know, big time in the second game, in the playoff game. But he played great players in the Big Ten. There were a couple of other players that he played that were really good in the Big Ten as well. But I also wanted to mention this part of his quote, because I always find this interesting, because I know coaches and scouts really evaluate players and how they play in games that are out of control score-wise, especially when you're on the team that's losing. And he said he played Ohio State twice, and they were getting the break speed off them in the second game, and that was in the playoff game. Remember, Ohio State just absolutely buried them in that playoff game. It was 34-7 or whatever before Oregon knew it. 41-22 or something like that was the final score. And he said, and yet he was still competing to the very last second, and that showed a light, showed a lot. Those types of things you see in them. That is Dan Quinn and Adam Peters, man, to a T. That's what they didn't like about Jahan Dotson last year. They didn't like that he wasn't playing to the whistle on every single play. They traded him. They're looking for those, you know, qualities. I'm not saying that that should be the driving quality. It isn't. But they want competitors, man. They want dudes that are playing the entire way and aren't looking at the scoreboard and saying, yeah, I'm done. And the idea that he played well, and the R&D department does a great job of sort of evaluating how they do against other highly draftable players, and that he lined up and dominated Abdul Carter, was obviously promising in their eyes. I think they got a good player. I mean, time will tell. Who knows? He's not going to play left tackle. He's not going to go up, you know, week in and week out against the other team's best player. It doesn't always break that way. And you just never know. And these positions in particular are always tough. All the positions are. But they drafted a guy that they love from a competitive standpoint, from an athletic standpoint. And they felt they still needed to invest in the protection of their quarterback and I think this is important, invest in their ability to be more versatile in the run game. You know, getting better opportunities for people other than the quarterback to run the football. All right, when we come back, what's next? I'm going to give you kind of 5-6 players that I've talked about already in my breakdowns of some of these players. I certainly don't think I need to focus on O-line tonight. I would be shocked if they went O-line, especially that given that they essentially, you know, he essentially said that position's depth isn't great, and it kind of fell off the cliff after the first round players were gone. But I've got some ideas on players that they'll be looking for tonight, and I'll give you some of those when we come back. Kevin Sheehan Show, the Team 980, the team980.com. We're free and live on the Odyssey app. You can also check us out on our stream on our YouTube page, where we'd ask you to subscribe and also hit the like button for us.
All right, last night, despite having multiple offers to move off the 29th pick, Washington Commanders stick and pick, and they select Josh Connerly Jr., the offensive tackle out of Oregon. He was voted the best practice player of the week at the Senior Bowl, and Washington's coaching staff liked him so much that Cliff Kingsbury left a note on Adam Peters' desk, quote, "I stopped by, take Oregon tackle. Thanks, Cliff." Moving on to the Giants, Abdul Carter was selected at number 3. They also traded up with the Texans for number 25 overall to draft Ole Miss quarterback Jackson Dart. The Cowboys reached up for Alabama guard Tyler Booker, and the Eagles traded up with the Chiefs to select Jihad Campbell at 31. The Nats wrapped up the Beltway battle last night. They lost to the Orioles 2-1. They take on the Mets tonight on the Team 980. To the ice, the Caps are looking to take a 3-0 series lead at Bell Center. Alexei Protas missed both games so far due to a cut on his foot. He joined the team yesterday for the flight up to Montreal and joined them this morning for morning skate with the whole team. Looks like we will see him tonight. Logan Thompson will get the start pregame at 6:45 on 106.7 The Fan. This update is sponsored by the Team 980 YouTube page. Just open the app, type in the Team 980 and hit subscribe. Kevin Sheehan is live from 10 to 1 and Craig Hoffman from 4 to 7. Don't forget to like the stream and turn on notifications to stay up to date on all things DC sports. And that's what's trending.